Space, the final frontier.
Hello, and welcome to TwerpCast episode 57, TrekCast, behind the scenes of Star Trek Eras, our fifth annual Christmas TrekCast. I'd like to introduce you to James Caswell, executive producer of TwerpCast, and the man behind Admiral Avery.
And he's Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer on all things Twerps, and my own personal number two.
Ew. Well, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about how Star Trek Eras came to be?
Well, to tell the story properly, I think we have to go back to when Star Trek The Next Generation was on in its sixth or seventh year, and you and I would sit around and talk about the various storylines and things like that, and I started coming up with weird ideas of fanfic, essentially, without really even knowing what fanfic was at the time. I just knew that I really enjoyed Star Trek and had ideas for some of the characters, some new characters, things of that nature. Add into that the fact that while I was in college, I minored in broadcasting, focusing in specifically on radio. I always had a love for old-time radio programs. Then, about 6 years ago or so, I was surfing the internet and came across fan-produced Star Trek shows like Tales of the Seventh Fleet, The New Voyages, and Hidden Frontier, and was really kind of impressed with the idea of getting people together and producing your own shows. But I knew that video was going to be way out of our league, and God, nobody wanted to see us in spandex.
Yes, you might say that we have the face for radio.
But then I started looking around and found audio shows as well, like the Section 31 Files and Defiant, and in listening to both of those, that track seemed a little bit more likely for us to produce our own Star Trek stuff. So the more I listened to these, the more I started to like the idea, the more I started to think, hey, this would be something really cool for us to do. And at that point, I went to you and said, you need to talk me out of doing this.
And I'll give you the same answer now as I did then. Why should I talk you out of doing it?
At the time, I was looking at it and just thinking to myself, God, this is going to be a lot of work, and we're going to have to do it non-profit, because if we make any money on it whatsoever, Paramount could come after us for copyright infringement, and I knew that we were going to have to get a huge cast together. It just seemed like a ton of work. And at the time, I was just kind of looking to see if this was actually going to be a good idea or not.
And also being a fan of old-time radio and Star Trek, I agreed. It was a good idea.
So at that point, you and I sat down and we started bouncing around ideas. I mean, I had written a couple of script Bibles for my own Star Trek shows when I was just writing for fanfic. And I remember us talking about the potential of using one of those, but neither one of them really struck either one of us as being good enough. And it was you that came up with the idea of us doing a multi-generational story.
Yeah, I thought that there's just so much material out there. I thought that we shouldn't limit ourselves in a medium that's the theater of the mind, that we could go anywhere and do anything.
Thus we sat down and started working on Eras. The idea of putting together a ship in every era of Star Trek that we could tell a story in any of those timelines. We knew that we wanted to have one character that could tie all the timelines together. And that's how we started coming up with Avery. And I remember we played with the idea of him being a Vulcan, because we needed a character that would have an extremely long lifetime. And we pretty much decided that even Vulcans didn't live long enough for what we were looking for.
That's right. But Star Trek giving us such a plethora of ideas, they already had built-in characters who live longer than Vulcans.
And from what we could find, the characters that had the longest of lifetimes was the Elorians. It's funny looking back at it 6 years later, and the fact that we thought, oh, Elorians aren't that popular characters. We don't have to worry about them being the really popular ones out there. And in that time, I've discovered that a large percentage of the fan shows out there actually have an Elorian somewhere involved. So they were a lot more popular than I gave them credit for at the time. Now, at the same time that we were working on the script Bible for Eras and creating the first script, I was looking at groups like Darker Projects and Pendant Productions and was realizing that I wanted to keep our options open. If we found that we really enjoyed doing this, I wanted to have a creative outlet that we could do other shows beyond Star Trek Eras. And that's when we came up with the whole TimeWell Electronic Recording Productions idea. Now, TimeWell is a name that I've played with for decades. It's essentially taking part of Doug's name, the Zeit of Zeitlin, which is German for time, and taking the last part of my name, Well, and putting the two of them together. So, TimeWell Productions really is a combining of both of our efforts. It's named after both of us. So I knew that I wanted to have Doug involved in this pretty much from the get-go. I mean, I've always considered myself to be a Star Trek geek, but I pale in comparison to Doug's knowledge about Star Trek. I think I could legitimately say Doug has forgotten more about Star Trek than I've ever known.
Yeah, I think that's true of most people, though.
But above and beyond my friendship with Doug, I also knew that I wanted it to be something that we could bring our other friends in on, too. Ken has been the third member of this particular Three Musketeers for over 2 decades now, so we knew that we wanted to have him included as well. But at the time, he was interested in doing some of the voice work, but more of the production side of things he was a little less interested in. So he kind of took an assistant producer type role in things and left it to you and me to run.
That's absolutely true. And he does read our scripts after they're done to this very day.
Yes. I can honestly say that without the Halloran family, putting the shows together would be a whole lot more difficult. Because you have Ken, who does a majority of the script editing. You have Matt, who writes the music for Eras. You have their dad, Jerry, their mom, Joan, and their sister, Beth, who all do voices for Eras, among other shows. So, like I said, the Halloran family are very active in this. And then we just basically started recruiting from all of our social circles. Anybody and everybody who was interested, we said, sure, come on, we'll give you a part. And there have been people who have come, and there have been people who have gone through the process of this. But for the most part, our core group of people that we recruited right there at the beginning are still part of it.
Let's help us keep the continuity of the show together.
That's something that's very important to us, is maintaining continuity. We're big believers in maintaining a continuity and making things as easy as possible. Considering the fact that we have this large universe that we're playing in, making things as easy as possible for the listeners. That's why we do things like provide links to backgrounds of the characters and things of that nature, so that if you're sitting there wondering, what is this character's background? We try to set it up so that you can find it and learn as much about it as you can without ruining the story for you.
So, here we've got a script Bible, we've got a pilot episode written, we've got a cast and crew together, we're ready for our first recording session. We started out with a great idea that we were going to record this like an old-time radio show. We're going to do it live, we're going to have enough mics for everybody, and essentially we're just going to go through and record scene after scene. This turned into a 48-hour continuous fiasco of computer problems, of technical problems, timing issues. It was hell on wheels. We don't record like that anymore. Now it's much more overproduced.
At the time, Ken was living in this very, very small town in a farming community in an apartment building, and he was very nice enough to volunteer to let us use his apartment. That's why the very first episode says that it was recorded at the Masterson House Studios. Masterson House Studios was Ken's apartment.
It was recorded in a room that was intended for recording.
Little things that we didn't quite take into account was that it was right around harvest season, and there was a cornfield right next door to the apartment building, and that there was farm equipment being driven back and forth in front of the building, and people using farming equipment right next door. And us having to take long breaks during recording sessions for these huge tractors to drive by the building so that they wouldn't show up on the recordings.
I think overall, we ended up with passable material for the first show. It was hard to do.
If anything was going to break the spirit of TimeWell Electronic Recording Productions, that would have been it.
Yes, but we overcame those obstacles, and we're still overcoming them today.
Yeah, that's one of those interesting things about doing audio productions, is that just about the time we think that we have the routine down, a new hurdle pops up. Something new surfaces that makes us go, what the heck? how are we supposed to deal with this?
Yes. We let little things like weddings and childbirth get in the way of our production schedule. To be honest with you, my biggest regret is our production schedule. We originally had intended to put out one episode every 2 months, and, well, our average is once a year now.
For eras, yeah. And I'll give Matt both the credit and the blame. Matt does something for us that, as far as I can tell, no other fan production has. And that is, he creates original music for every single episode of Star Trek Eras. I've heard some of the music for the episode that's supposed to come out sometime before the end of the year, knock on wood. And he has scored an entire scene. And we're not talking just a guitar being played or something of that nature. We're talking full orchestra music. That takes time. Add onto that the fact that Matt is a husband, Matt is a father, Matt has a full-time job, Matt plays with an orchestra, Matt plays music at his wife's temple. Matt is a very, very busy man. So, unfortunately, writing, producing, and recording large chunks of music takes a great deal of time. Now, the first person who would beat Matt up for the amount of time that it takes is, of course, Matt. It's funny because it gets to the point sometimes where Matt will see my number come up on caller ID and instantaneously the guilt sets him, even though I have no intention of putting guilt on his shoulders. Well, Matt's a good Catholic boy. He believes in good Catholic guilt.
Thank you, Matt, for everything that you've done. It's been appreciated.
And honestly, if it's a case of Matt puts the finishing touches on one episode of Eras per year, but he produces fantastic music to go with it, I think it's a price that's, for the most part, worth paying. It's funny because I've talked to him on several occasions about doing stock music for the shows, and he fights me tooth and nail on it because he wants that quality there. And then I sit down and I listen to the music that he's produced for it, and I go, okay, yeah, you're right. That scene sounds so much better with original music written for it. So what did we learn from that first recording session? Never to do group recording sessions again.
Never record near a cornfield.
Yeah, even with the occasional traffic that goes by our current recording, quote-unquote, studio, it's not nearly as bad as those tractors and trailers were.
It's also easier to get people together on their own schedules than try to schedule one big group recording.
I just remember how much of a nightmare that 48 hours turned into, and the fact that all of our people were so willing to be flexible and work with us, and it really was appreciated at the time that they were willing to take it on the chin like they did. Although if we tried to schedule a second recording like we did the first one, they might have all mutinied.
As Jen has already mentioned, our goal is, by the end of the year of our Lord 2011, we hope to have our sixth episode of Star Trek Eras, the Dalton Trade Out.
Yes. As I said, I've heard some of the music for the upcoming episode, and it sounds fantastic. He's got literally 95% of the work done. And the last time I talked to him, I said, what are the chances that you're going to give me this as a Christmas present? And he said that's what he was going to shoot for. We're shooting for Christmas, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We hope that hearing about how Eras came about, essentially how our company came about, can act as a bit of an encouragement for people, some understanding as to why our production schedule is the way it is, things of that nature. So we hope that this has helped you understand a little bit better. If you have any questions about how to go about this, how to get involved in something like this, feel free to drop us an email. We're perfectly willing to share what little knowledge we've gathered and help people out.
Thank you once again for listening to TwerpCast. As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write jim@twerponline.net. It can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, Zanga, and MySpace.
TwerpCast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2011. Merry Christmas, everybody.